which is exactly how another economist is approaching a different global health crisis. Richard Thaler actually used to be his professor.
I corrupted him when he was an undergraduate at Cornell.
Sandhil Mulyanthan is now a professor himself.
I've known Richard
at Harvard
since I was an undergraduate, of all things. So I've known him for about 20 years. So we get
Sandhil's work is mostly about questioning the small decisions we make and asking, are we really making a decision at all?
Like, in other words, we never actually even have that moment where we choose. Sometimes you'll notice, like, when people graduate and they get a job, they sort of say, okay, now I'm going to buy a house. It's not obvious that they said, should I buy a house? It's just, which house will I buy? And that type of sort of gliding over very important choices is quite interesting.
In his TED Talk, Sandhil tells the story of another choice, but one that has life or death consequences. It's actually a global health problem much more deadly than guinea worm disease.
So this incident that I'm going to describe really began with some diarrhea. Now, we've known for a long time the cause of diarrhea. For us, it's a problem, the people in this room. For babies, it's deadly. They lack nutrients, and diarrhea dehydrates them. And so as a result, there's a lot of death, a lot of death. In India in 1960, there was a 24% child mortality rate. Lots of people didn't make it. This is incredibly unfortunate. One of the big reasons this happened was because of diarrhea. Now, there was a big effort to solve this problem, and there was actually a big solution. And this solution has been called by some potentially the most important medical advance this century. Now, the solution turned out to be simple. And what it was oral rehydration salts. Many of you have probably used this. It's brilliant. It's a way to get sodium and glucose together so that when you add it to water, the child is able to absorb it even during situations of diarrhea. Remarkable impact on mortality. It looks like the technological problem is solved. But if you look, even today, there are about 400,000 diarrhea-related deaths in India alone. What's going on here? Well, the easy answer is we just haven't gotten those salts to those people. That's actually not true. If you look in areas where these salts are completely available, the price is low or zero, these debts still continue abated. Maybe there's a biological answer. Maybe these are the debts that simple rehydration alone doesn't solve. That's not true either. Many of these debts are completely preventable. And this is what I want to think of as the disconcerting thing, what I want to call the last mile problem.
Okay, so the last mile problem, this is where the concept of nudge often runs into a roadblock.
The last mile problem is this interesting thing that we see in social policy. It has to do with the fact that there will be some core problem that we'll find some technical solution to, like a real solution. But what you neglect is there's this last little bit, which is the annoying part. It's not the science part. It's the human part. It's just a thing we under-resource. We just almost have this view of, you know, what is it from Field of Dreams? Build it and they will come.
Yeah.
And so with so many of these problems, we have a build it and they will come attitude. We'll make the vaccine. We'll make the high-yielding crop. We'll make this. And then the problem will solve itself.
And in India, that was the story with rehydration salts and the last mile problem. Sandhil says many women surveyed in rural India simply didn't know that when a child has diarrhea, you need to increase fluids, not reduce them.
In India, 35 to 50% say reduce. Think about what that means for a second. 35 to 50% of women, they are actually making their child more likely to die through their actions. How is that possible? Well, one possibility, and I think that's how most people respond to this, is to say, that's just stupid. I don't think that's stupid. I think there's something very profoundly right in what these women are doing. And that is, you don't put water into a leaky bucket. So think of the mental model that goes behind reducing the intake. The model is intuitively right. It just doesn't happen to be right about the world. See, what's really puzzling and frustrating about the last mile to me is that the first 999 miles are all about science. No one would say, hey, I think this medicine works, go ahead and use it. We have testing, we go to the lab, we try it again, we have refinement. But you know what we do on the last mile? Oh, this is a good idea, people will like this, let's put it out there. The amount of resources we put in are disparate. We put billions of dollars into fuel-efficient technologies. How much are we putting into energy behavior change in a credible, systematic, testing way?
You know, in a lot of ancient medicine, they would say that if you have a fever, we should put you into cold water.
Right.
Now that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Like it's really a smart idea. Except it just happens to be a terrible idea. You have a fever, your body is under like so much duress. What the hell are we doing putting you in cold water? But it just goes to say when you have a lay belief about what's happening, that's what drives your choice. How can you know anything but your lay belief? And in this sense, it's like the problem is the problem of choosing. So for example, I go to the gym like every day. And I don't think this has to be about every day. It can be about Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It can be Saturday, Sunday. But for me, one of the ways that I'm able to go to the gym every day is because I go to the gym every day. Now, that sounds stupid, but it's because I don't have a choice. Like, if I woke up in the morning and I had to choose, I guarantee you I would not go to the gym.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I am tired. Today is not the day. Let's do tomorrow.
Yeah.
But much like with brushing my teeth, I don't really choose to brush my teeth. I'm just like, yeah, I'm really tired, but I guess I got to brush my teeth. Once it's just a thing with the rule and not a choice, it changed everything.
So it's like nudging people to do the right thing or be more rational about their health or whatever is not always about giving them more information, right? It's about understanding the choice.
That's right. That's a good way of putting it. It's not about information. It's about finding what is the psychological blockage, so to speak. I mean, I think this is one of the things where, for me personally, it's been sort of a pretty long journey in that I think I started off feeling like, oh, yes, these are all examples of irrational behavior. And that's a bias that I think both comes from economists, because there's a rational model, this is irrational, but also just from human nature. You're like, dude, why can't you just take your pill? Like, that's just stupid.
Right.
But I actually think that perspective is highly mistaken. And I actually think it's one of the reasons that it proves harder to find solutions. And I think I found that it's much more helpful to understand what's right about it, because we know the bigger reference frame in which it looks stupid. You're on a diet and you're having your fifth cookie. That's just stupid. Mm-hmm. Right. We understand what's wrong with it. But if you're going to change it, you have to understand what feels right about it in that moment, at that time, because that's the key to unlocking it.
We're on the verge of a whole new social science. It's a social science that recognizes, much like science recognizes the complexity of the body, biology recognizes the complexity of the body, we'll recognize the complexity of the human mind. The careful testing, retesting, design are going to open up vistas of understanding complexities, difficult things, and those vistas will both create new science and fundamental change in the world as we see it in the next 100 years. All right, thank you very much.
Sendhil Mulyanthan, he's a MacArthur Fellow and a professor of economics at Harvard. You can check out his entire talk at TED.com. And the latest book from his old professor and original nudger, Richard Thaler, is called Misbehaving. Thanks for listening to our show, Nudge, this week. If you want to find out more about who is on it, you can go to ted.npr.org. To see hundreds more TED Talks, check out ted.com. Our production staff at NPR includes Jeff Rogers, Brent Bachman, Megan Kane, Neva Grant, Sanaz Meshkinpour, and Casey Herman, with help from Daniel Shukin. Our intern is Rachel Faulkner. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Kelly Stetzel, and Janet Lee. If you want to let us know what you think about the show, you can write us at tedradiohour@npr.org. We'd love to hear from you. And you can follow us on Twitter. It's @TedRadioHour. I'm Guy Raz, and you've been listening to Ideas Worth Spreading right here on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.